Hey guys, just a quick one. If you, like me, are iPad lovers and spend all of your productive time on your iPads making notes for exams or making notes for anything else, then I cannot recommend enough the paper-like screen protector. The number of times I've scratched my unprotected iPad screen after using different styluses or styli, but since having the paper-like screen protector, it's kept my screen extremely well shielded. Its nanodot surface technology provides a better tactile feel, increased stroke friction, and minimal light diffraction so that making art and taking notes on an iPad feels as natural as writing on paper. Made for the iPad and Apple Pencil, Paperlight delivers the unforgettable feeling of real paper into your digital workspace. To find out more about this wonderful creation, you can just head on over to their website by searching paperlight.com/medtalks, and I will leave this link in the episode description so you can have a look after you've listened to the episode. And if you are interested in purchasing a Paperlight screen protector, then please do enter the code MEDTALKS at the checkout page, and again I will leave that all in the episode description. Okay, back to the episode. Hello there everyone, and warm welcome back to the History of Modern Day Medicine series, which is brought to you by MedTalks. These are our bonus episodes where every week we retrace our forefathers' footsteps and learn all about how we've established our modern day practices in medicine. So folks, in today's episode, we're going to take a close look at a very, very well-known device that has definitely helped to save the lives of millions and millions of people over the years. With just a tiny sharp stab into a muscular area of the body, this handheld device can prevent catastrophic death. That's right, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you the story of the EpiPen. So, what is the EpiPen and where has it come from? Now first we need to take a bit of a step back and understand what it's actually used for. EpiPens are vital for people with severe allergies such as nut allergies, severe medication allergies, or anything else that can cause people to develop something called anaphylaxis. And I will talk about more about what anaphylaxis is shortly. Firstly, we need to look at the discovery of the chemical that makes all of this possible. And that chemical is called adrenaline, or as it's termed in the USA, epinephrine. Now, adrenaline is one of the most known hormones in a human body, with a very powerful effect on pretty much every organ in the body you can think of. It's produced by two glands that sit just above our kidneys, and they are called the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands are located near the kidneys, and they were actually missed for thousands of years because they're usually covered up in fat. So, as I mentioned, the hormone that's produced by the adrenal glands is called adrenaline, and the two names are adrenaline and epinephrine. The WHO, World Health Organization, name is epinephrine, and it comes from the Greek epi, which means near, and nephron, which means kidney. And adrenaline is Latin, so the ad means side, and the renal means kidney. Now, the actual importance of our adrenal glands came to light as a result of observations that were made by a British physician called Thomas Addison in 1855. He had consulted on patients who were extremely tired, were going through weight loss, having vomiting, and also had a strange darkening of the skin. He found that at the autopsy of patients that they all had damaged adrenal glands, and he proposed that the destruction of adrenal glands, so organs with no known function at the time, caused their deaths. About a year later, Charles Brown Sicard in France surgically removed the adrenal glands from laboratory animals, and all the animals actually died, which therefore supported the hypothesis that the adrenal glands, which previously we thought had no role, were actually essential for life. Now, developing evidence that glands like the adrenal glands were actually secreting active chemicals into the blood was a really difficult hurdle. Furthermore, it was hard to show with the available methods at the time in the latter half of the 19th century that this was the case. And in 1889, Brown Sicard, who was 72 years old at the time, and a very senior scientist, he announced that he'd been rejuvenated by injections of extracts of animal sperm and testicles. At the time, through various experiments, he suggested the possibility that extracts of organs might have some major physiological effects within the body. A few years later, in England, George Oliver, in collaboration with Edward Sharpie Schaffer, discovered that extracts of the adrenal glands actually raised the blood pressure of dogs. George Oliver was a physician himself, and he had lots of spare time to do research. One of his experiments was to feed his son with adrenal glands that he got from a local butcher, and try to measure the effect with a device that he'd invented himself. Oliver used the device to check on possible changes in the radial artery, which is located in the arm. Oliver then met the famous physiologist, Professor Edward Sharpie Schaffer, who, as a matter of pure interest, had actually injected an extract of adrenal glands into dogs and was astonished to find that their blood pressure had risen tremendously. And this was a clear example, and probably the first example, that the substance produced by the adrenal glands had a really significant physiological effect. And after that, that sparked a race to find out what that substance was that caused the blood pressure to rise. And so labs throughout the world, especially in Germany, England, and the US, were trying to purify that substance. And many had claimed to have found it, but the actual discovery came in 1901. The active substance in the adrenal glands, which was responsible for raising blood pressure, was isolated by a Japanese immigrant in the United States called Jokichi Takamin, and he called it adrenaline. So adrenaline represents a tiny molecule which is synthesized by the center of the adrenal gland called the medulla. And our ancient ancestors living in a hostile world had to be prepared to react to threats and to be able to mobilize their resources in a short period of time. When a rabbit is approached by a wolf and has to run away, and then the wolf has to run at maximum speed to catch the rabbit, both of them are releasing adrenaline from their adrenal glands, and they integrate all the organs in the body to respond to the need for maximal exertion. And this is called the fight or flight response. So adrenaline hormone will increase the output of blood from the heart to the exercising muscles, bringing more oxygen nutrients to keep the muscles going vigorously. It causes the heart to beat faster and harder. It pushes the liver to release more glucose into the blood, makes fat to release fatty acids and glycerol, which are nutrients for muscles, essential nutrients. And also adrenaline causes the airways to dilate or widen, which will enable faster and easier breathing. Now, shortly after Jokichi Takamine's discovery, scientists around the world started figuring out how to synthesize and produce adrenaline cheaply. And it became a drug which enjoyed a brief career as a panacea, where it was used to treat everything from the plague to bedwetting. Adrenaline became more and more known, more and more popular, and around the 1960s, anaphylaxis also seemed to be happening much more often. And that wasn't just in a clinical setting as a reaction to medicine. Anaphylaxis is also from the Greek language, and it means without protection. It's a severe allergic reaction that occurs when the body launches a full-scale attack on a seemingly innocuous substance like peanuts or a latex glove. The French physiologist Charles Richer was awarded the Nobel Prize in 1913 for describing and naming the phenomenon, which he studied by injecting dogs with jellyfish venom. And in the most serious version of anaphylaxis, the body's blood pressure can plummet and the airways can close off, meaning that a person can go from eating dinner to fighting for their life within minutes. Now, given what happens during an anaphylactic attack, where the blood pressure drops, the heart rate drops, and the airways close off, given what I just described about the effects of adrenaline, it's clear that there is an effective reversal here. And so adrenaline settled into its role as a means of reversing anaphylaxis during the 1960s. But where did the EpiPen come from? So the EpiPen is the more commonly used trade name for an epinephrine auto-injector. It's no bigger than a cigar, and it's actually a Cold War spin-off based on the 19th century innovation of hollow needle injections. So during the Cold War, the military wanted a quick way for troops to self-inject antidotes to nerve gas. In the 1970s, inventor Sheldon Kaplan recognized that modifications in the pen could turn it into a lifesaver for civilians, especially those susceptible to anaphylactic shock, where a fast response can mean the difference between life and death. And the EpiPen gradually replaced a World War II innovation, the Anakit, which contained measured doses of epinephrine ready to be delivered by syringe and needle. Before World War II, treatment required drawing up and measuring epinephrine from a vial, which was a very time-consuming and error-prone method. And since its introduction in 1980, the EpiPen auto-injector has saved millions of lives from anaphylaxis, this severe allergic reaction which causes airway tightening and blood pressure drop. So anaphylaxis is now treated with adrenaline or epinephrine, opening up the airways and blood vessels to counteract the symptoms, but it has to be injected promptly. The EpiPen, designed by Sheldon Kaplan, enables an individual to swiftly administer the medication by thrusting the auto-injector into either their own thigh or another person's outer thigh to activate this spring-loaded mechanism, launching that needle into the muscle and administer this life-saving adrenaline. So guys, that's the story of adrenaline and the development of the EpiPen. And just think about how many lives it saved. Let's just take a moment to appreciate the people who have got us to this stage. Those who worked tirelessly, researched tirelessly to uncover the effects of adrenaline and then to develop this incredible device. Data in England shows that the hospital admissions for allergic reactions and anaphylactic shock is increasing. In 2018-19, there were just under 5,500 hospital admissions for anaphylactic shock. And this compares to just under 4,500 in 2015-16. So the numbers are rising, but thankfully we have the EpiPen, which not only helps to save lives, but thankfully we have this life-saving device at hand called the EpiPen. And so guys, that brings me to the end of this episode where, as promised, I've gone through the story of the EpiPen. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for all of your support. Please remember you can share these episodes with your friends, your peers, or anyone else who you may think might find it interesting. We've got lots more coming up, so do stay tuned in our bonus series where we're uncovering the history of modern day medicine. Bye for now.